Acts chapter 10, if you would tonight. Acts chapter number 10. For sake of time, let's look at verse number 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? They said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, the one that feareth God and of good report, among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, and the morrow after they entered Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and called together his kinsmen and dear friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. He said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent me for. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing that when we long for you, and we seek for you, we can find you. We seek for you with all our heart. I pray, God, now that you will bless now the preaching of thy word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit that I might preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, that in no way I'd hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless now the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Perhaps this is a familiar passage to a number of you, and maybe a passage that some of you have never heard before. Before I get deep into the details of this passage, let me just give you a brief overview. We have two main characters in this story. The first being Cornelius and the other being Simon Peter. You'll find in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius was a centurion. A centurion was a very powerful man. As a matter of fact, we find in the Gospels when the centurion's servant was healed, we find that this powerful man had the authority to tell them what to do. They came when he said come. They went when he said go. He was a man of clout and of prominence. We find Cornelius in chapter 10 of Acts, a devout man, one that feared God. In all his house, he gave alms to the people and prayed. to God always. By the way, could I remind you tonight that just because you're devout and religious, and just because you give to the poor, and just because you pray to God, doesn't make you saved. And here we find a man that was religious. Our world is full of religious people. They know about God, but they don't know God. They know gospel terminology, but they've never been transformed by the gospel. They know the pages of Scripture. As a matter of fact, some of the best interpreters of Scripture will spend eternity wondering how they missed the most important Scripture. And that is, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here is Cornelius. He is a man in Caesarea that is devout. He is sincere. He is seeking, my friend, but he is lost. He is praying for help from God. And by the way, it is my belief that when a man, woman, boy, or girl is truly sincere for God, now I understand that man is depraved and that we can do no spiritual activity except the Holy Spirit of God quicken us. But I do believe that a man can be lost and can be looking for somehow how to be saved. He may not understand the gospel. I know there are those that think of the Calvinist persuasion that a man cannot seek God at all because we're ultimately depraved. Listen to me, I'm not saying that you can run after God in a spiritual manner, but no doubt in my mind, a man that's lost knows he's missing something. He knows he's without something. He knows that his life cannot be fulfilled by the world's toys and the devil's allurements. He knows that all the things that he's tried, have only given him temporary gratification. And he knows in his mind, because of the conscience that God has given him, that there's got to be somebody that my heart instinctively longs for. There's got to be somebody out there that made that sun stay there and that moon stay there and painted that world with those tapestries and galaxies and those mountains and those hills and those birds that chirp and the water that comes down, and all of the creation must come by a divine creator. And no doubt my mind, as Cornelius was seeking, he was praying because he knew that there was a God. He wanted a personal relationship with him. But like every lost man, he could not get to God without some help. We find Peter on the other end who knew God. He had been exposed to God. He had walked with Jesus Christ in the flesh. Oh, what a joy it must have been to have been one of those original 12 disciples. Hey, I enjoy walking with Jesus every day, but I'd love to walk with him in the flesh too. And Peter had seen Jesus. Peter, as closely as any other disciple, perhaps more except than John, knew Jesus. He had walked with him. He had spent time with him. He had prayed with him. He had watched with him. He had seen Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had seen him at Jairus' house. He had seen him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had watched Jesus there on the cross of Calvary. He had seen Jesus in the room after he had resurrected. He had seen Jesus on the day of his ascension, and he was waiting for Jesus to come again. But Peter is engaged in the early church that is on the move, reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter, like a lot of Christians, he knew Jesus Christ for himself, but he didn't understand the crux of sharing Jesus with everybody else. And so God uses two people in two different places with two different needs to meet each other's needs. What a miraculous God we serve. The amazing thing about this story, as we'll look at it a little bit more in detail in just a moment, is that when God got a hold of Peter and got Peter to go to Cornelius, Cornelius had been seeking, had been searching, and had been sincere so much that he was overwhelmed with joy. He was ecstatic. He was fulfilled. Everything that he'd been looking for, he had found. When Peter showed up, Cornelius fell down on his feet, started worshiping him. And then Peter said, hold up. Stand up. Don't get on your knees to me. Don't bow down to me. Don't crouch to me. Don't adore me. Don't idolize me. I was an instrument of God, but I'm a man just like you're a man. There's only one person that deserves worship, and that's a Almighty God. I'd like to take some time, because I think it warrants such, to preach tonight on the danger of man worship. The danger of man worship. I want to look at it from the perspective of this story to what potentially could have happened if Peter let Cornelius stay down. What potentially could have happened if he didn't understand that it's not right for you to be bowing down to me. It's not right for you to be worshiping me. It's not right for you to be adoring me. Hey, we've talked about worship so much the last year and a half or so, or even more, and we've covered just about every aspect of worship you could possibly think. But I can tell you, my friend, we can understand the proponents of worship and the parts of worship and the passion of worship and the people of worship and the priority of worship and the place of worship and still mess up when it comes to worship when we let it happen to us. And I won't tell you today, I am, I promise you. I won't tell you today that there's not a person in this room today whose natural propensity isn't to want worship. I'm telling you that when you lean on the direction of your flesh, it would appeal to man worship. And I'm going to tell you, and by the way, I was planning to preach this before the Pope was getting sworn in today. I mean, before I knew all about all of that stuff, but it falls on a good day. Falls on a good day when the world is standing back and watching now as somehow their spiritual father has been replaced. And now all of the hopes that were on pause for a while can resume as a human being mans a post that governs the affairs and the destiny of a multitude of people. And as those, including the media, watched on as some man was voted on by some other men to stand in the place of God. And now all of our known world is looking as these Catholic folk gather around this man that is supposed to govern their spiritual affairs and supposed to take care of their eternal destiny and is supposed to watch over their soul situation and is supposed to make sure that their destiny is secure. And I want you to know that I'm glad that my father will never retire. He will never step down. I'm glad that my father will never get voted out because he never got voted in. I'm glad that my father will always reign, and he'll always rule, and he'll always be mine, and I can always serve him. But sometimes we like to steal his stuff. And I'd like to say that the Catholics are not the only people that struggle with man worship. We got issues in here. We have some choir members that like man worship. Some minister workers that like man worship. We have some soul winners that like man worship. Yes, we do. And I want to talk to you about the danger of it tonight. The danger of when you allow people to bow down to you. The danger of man worship. First of all, if you're taking notes tonight, man worship forgets the position of the sovereign. It forgets the position of the sovereign. Now, notice if you would, what do you mean his position? Number one, could I talk about his word? His word. Notice verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And of course, the instruction about Peter. Now look, if you would, the same situation. Now, as we look at Peter in verse number 11, he saw the heaven open, a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Notice the four-footed beast and the wild beast and creeping things of the air. And notice 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now notice now in first part of chapter 10, and then in the consecutive part that we looked at, in each case, Cornelius and Peter, they both received a vision. Now, we're living in a day and age differently than Acts chapter 10. We're not receiving the same kind of vision that Peter got, or the same kind of vision that Cornelius got. If you're going to hear from God, it will not be through some audible voice or through some big Jesus in the sky or through some self-man-made prophet or apostle that will speak God's word into you on the behalf of God. But I will say that God still has a vision for us, and that vision is through the word of God. And when all of a sudden, if Peter were to allow Cornelius to bow down to him, he would be forgetting the position of the sovereign. And I'm simply meaning to say to you that Peter will all of a sudden act as if he was the one that had made all this happen, when truth be told, the reason why it was all coming together was because of the word of the Lord. Be careful. Be careful when you're comfortable being worshipped. Now, before you summarily dismiss even the notion that you struggle with this, I'm not talking about somebody at your feet physically, but I'm talking about when you walk off the platform and act like you pulled it off. I'm talking about when you fill out a card with your name as the counselor like you pulled it off. I'm talking about when somebody comes into church and blows up spiritually, you act like since you brought them, you did it. This is what I'm talking about. I'm trying to get you to remember that before you let somebody adore you, remember it's the word of God that got this thing in motion. It was the word of God that drew that person to the Lord. It was the word of God in your song that helped the hearts of God's people. It was the word of God from your message that helped people come to the altar. It was the word of God in your counseling that helped a marriage stay together. It was the word of God to your children that helped them be successful. It was the word of God from your youth pastor that helped you stay pure. Oh, the instrument is a vessel, and the human being is a servant. But there is no power if there is no word. The word of God. Absolutely. The work of God. I mean, God did this thing. God took old Cornelius over here in Caesarea looking for something. And God took Peter over here in Joppa thinking he had everything and worked it out. You understand that? I'm saying before you accept man worship, remember the work of God. You understand? Oh man, it really felt good for people to enjoy my song. Remember, God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Remember, it's God that's working you, that set in motion that unction, the function that only he can produce. It is the work of God. It is the word of God. Write this down. It is the weight of God. Peter didn't get it the first time. Notice what the scripture said. Rise, kill and eat. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Notice 16. This was done thrice. This is what I'm trying to get you to get on tonight. When you finally get it together spiritually, and you enjoy the fact that people like the fact that you've gotten it together spiritually, remember how long it took God to get you there. I said, remember how long it took God to get you. Oh, I'm preaching now. Sure took you long enough to get there. Oh, I'm singing now. You sure took long enough to sing right. Oh, I'm leading people to the Lord now. Sure took you long before you even came on visitation. Oh, I'm leading a ministry now. We couldn't even get you in one. Oh, the children really listen to me. About time you got that nursery. God's been waiting on you, and it's the patience of God that must remain in the forefront of our mind when somebody goes, oh, I just adore you. Get up off your feet. If you knew how long God had to wait on me to get right, you'd be worshiping him and not me. The work of God. The weight of God, the word of God, the will of God. Go. I like this. Peter doubted in himself, 17. And called and asked. I'm sorry. Cornelius had sent somebody to ask him. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, three men seek thee. Arise, 20, that's where we are. Get down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now notice, I like this. If you're writing down, write down the will of God, and then write down the wisdom of God. If you got it down, you got those W's? Say them to me. Start off the word of God, followed by the work of God, followed by the weight of God. I thought you said weigh. The weight. Now, don't write down W-E-I-G-H-T. God, you can't weigh God. The weight of God means that's his patience. Amen. Aren't you glad that God waits on you? Amen. So the weight of God. Number four, the will of God. And number five, the wisdom of God. Now this is the key about how man worship forgets God's position. Man worship, when I let people bow down to me, I act like I'm the reason why it happened. I act like it all started with me. No, it started with the word of God. Amen. I act like I figured all this thing out. No. It continued with the work of God. I act like I caught it the first time. No. It happened because of the waiting of God. Yeah, and I act like I'm the reason why that it's, no. It happened because of the will of God. And then it happened because of the wisdom of God. In other words, God saw Cornelius, God saw Peter, and God knew that the best way to get Peter was to send down a blanket or a rug full of beasts that were considered unclean or common, and to tell Peter to eat it so that he could show Peter that what you don't like, God cares about. Now, here's the key. Here's what I want you to see about man worship. The next time you let somebody bow down to you, this is what you're doing. You're acting like the good idea that happened was something you came up with. Now if Peter had said, yeah, thank you. I do what I can. Bless you. Thank you. You know. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, that's what I did. You know, all of a sudden Cornelius, it's like Peter saying, yeah, I came up with this thing. Can I tell you something? Singing songs of Zion and seeing hearts touched, you didn't come up with that. Preaching in a good old-fashioned church and taking a hell-bound sinner who was once condemned and on his way separated from God and letting the grace of God get all on him and get all over him and commission him into the gospel preaching message. Listen to me. To take the simplicity of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and to take stuttering and stammering tongues and allow them to, with the power of God and the anointing of God, to preach in such a way that men, women, boys, and girls respond. And then they let somebody take a Bible and show them how to get... Listen to me. Knocking on doors and letting somebody let you in their house and take you down the road, let you take them down the Romans road and show them how they can know for sure that if they died, they could go to heaven when they die. That was not originated by you long before you and I were ever here. God thought it up that he would use men, women, boys, and girls to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. And when you and I let people worship us, we're acting like it came from us. It's dangerous. Listen. When you enjoy the applause more than you enjoy the affection to him. When you're looking to see who liked it, and you're going around the building to find out who enjoyed it. Did you like my song? Did you like my song? What'd you think about my song? Who cares? So, you know, some people you can, let me go to point number two. It's not that I'm not going to say what I was going to say. It's that it fits more relevantly in point two. I'm going to say it. All right. Forgets man worship. Forgets the position of the sovereign. Secondly, man worship focuses on the promotion of self. Stand up. I myself also am a man. So, if I accept man worship, it goes very intuitively or rhetorically that you and I can infer that if he refused man worship by saying, stand up, I also am a man, that the antithesis of that is, stay down, because I am God. Are you listening? Some of you missed that. There's only two extremes. It's either get up because I'm a man, or stay down because I'm God. There's no in between. So man worship assumes the place of God. And listen to me. It is fed by an insatiable appetite of self to be promoted. Listen. Self-promotion is an insatiable appetite. And by that, I mean unsatisfiable. By that, I mean it's a hunger that will never be filled. It is an appetite that will never be filled. It's a bottomless stomach. You understand? When your aim and objective is self-promotion, and by the way, don't ever think that you have done a good job concealing your self-promotion by promoting your false humility. Because, I'm doing it for God. Well, stop saying it so much. Sometimes you brag so much on how much you're doing it for God, you're giving away that you're not doing it for God. Sometimes you just need to say, praise Lord, and sit down somewhere and stop talking about how much you love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you wouldn't have to talk about it so much. We'd be telling you because we could see it. Sometimes, this is 2013. Nobody's going to stand up in church and say, I am God. Nobody's going to come out the choir loft and say, I'm the man. Not those words. But here's the test. Will you make those that worship you stand up? No. That wasn't me. No. I didn't do that. No. I'm not going to hear anything of it. It's all because of God's amazing grace. Write down. Here's promotion. Number one, self-glory. Number two, self-gratification. Number three, self-glow. Here's what man worship does. It lets me get my chance to shine. Church, wrong place to be walking like that. You don't strut from the pulpit after you finish in the church. It's not American Idol. You don't get blue ribbons for singing a good song. Amen. If you're doing it for Jesus, don't wait for man's applause. By the way, a good way to identify you were doing it for people is when you quit once they stop praising you. Or complain. I did all of this and nobody called my name out and nobody recognized me. The first time somebody else did it, they noticed, and I did it for 35 years. The church ain't even that old. But anyway, I did it for, and nobody, wait. You don't get excited when they bow down to you. You get excited when they bow down to him. He deserves the glory. He deserves the gratification. He deserves the glow. If I be lifted up, I'll draw him into myself. Listen to me, my friend. It's not about you. It's not about amens. It's not about packing an altar. It's not about them liking your message. It's not about singing it better than what's name used to sing it. It's not about girl, you can blow, and boy, you can sing. You can roll them slurs, and boy, you can have a career. It's about somebody realizing it's not about me. It's about God being on the throne. I worry about that. Pastor, Why do you worry about that? You know why? Because if I'm not careful, I'll do it for me. So you have to check yourself. Amen. There's a couple of things in the ministry you should ignore. Criticism and compliment. Don't make either one of them worth a hill of any. And by the way, I thank God. I cannot tell you how encouraged I have been by people in this church and the things they say. I hope you keep saying them. They encourage me. They encourage me. There's a whole lot different between encouragement and worship. And listen, I know of, I won't say good churches, but I want to say if they had a good church list, they'd be on there by what man's criterion states. I know a lot of good churches who have fallen apart. They didn't explode, they imploded from the inside. The devil didn't have to break them up. They broke their own selves up. And at the core of their implosion was man worship. They had more adoration and respect for their pastor than they did for his creator. Listen to me. Be careful when you're worried about what I see you do and not what he sees you do. When you're doing what you do because I showed up and not because he showed up. When you tithe better when I say I'm going to check it and you won't tithe better when he checks it every time. When you dress right because we're checking your skirt length and dress how you want to because you're out of town. I'm trying to tell you, it ain't about man worship. It's about God worship. We like it. Don't come and don't look. Oh, I'm glad you preached that, Pastor, because I know several church members who, no, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to every person in here, myself included. Listen, you don't think your preacher has to check himself? Humility? I preach all over this country. I've had compliments heaped on me that I told myself I was going to ignore, never remember, pay no attention to. I've been introduced ways and offered things and this, that, and the other. I have to look in the mirror and find myself, rehearse to myself that were it not for the grace of God, where would I be? All of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that when God saved me, I was dead in trespasses and sin. And even now that I'm saved, I still have a flesh that in it dwelleth no good thing. I seek my own. I'm stuck on myself. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I cannot know it. I have to remind myself that it is God which worketh in me. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. It is his spirit that fills me. It is his word that leads me. It is his power that guides me. It is his wisdom that shows me. It is his lamp that illuminates me. It is his power that consumes me. It is his mercy that doesn't kill me. And were it not for him, I would not be here. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. No, I'm not. It just sounds good. Watch this now. Do you realize that as a pastor, I have sat in services and watched people in the moment do a certain thing to be worshipped? I have watched people kick something in to get some praise. I've heard people change songs to get applause. I have listened to people share testimonies that I knew because of foreknowledge that they were embellishing, fabricating, or in some instances inventing stories to be worshipped by men. I have seen hypocrites glorify God in church. They didn't know I knew it, but I did. But it doesn't matter that I knew it. They knew it. Man worship. I have been on the receiving end of flattery by church members that were known slanderers. But if they flatter, I'll bow down to them. And don't worry, they're running the same game on you. Brother, I sure love your testimony. No, you don't. You love what that brother has, what that sister knows, the information you can pull out of them. I have watched people target friendships in church because of an insatiable appetite for man worship. I just want to spend some time with you. Why? So a month later, I'm comfortable enough to borrow from you or to use you or to gossip with you or to draw you into some illicit relationship. It's man worship. Pastor, you're being rugged. I wouldn't have to if God's people would live according to the word of God. We have to be careful. We dress up everything under Jesus' name. I want you to be careful of accepting man worship, and I want you to be careful about engaging in it too. Don't bow down to anybody. I know churches today that would follow their pastor off a cliff and won't follow Jesus into the baptismal pool. They will follow a certain church member's counsel out of the will of God and won't follow the Holy Spirit to a prayer closet. Are you listening to me? They will follow a shyster to give buku dollars to some ministry and won't follow Jesus to tithe 52 weeks in a row. It's dangerous. Thirdly, I'll give you this, the beginning of this, and then I'll stop until next Wednesday. Man worship forgets the position of the sovereign. Man worship focuses on the promotion of self. Watch this. Man worship forsakes the providence in the story. It forsakes the providence in the story. Watch this now. When you accept man worship, here's what you do. You take all of the amazing miracles that God pulled off to make it happen and squash them and put yourself at the forefront. Now, if Peter had said, stay down. Oh, yes. I was, that's those transcripts from Pentecost, my words. Oh, yeah, I'm the main mouth. You should have seen me. He asked for me to go to Gethsemane. I was asleep, but nobody's talking about that, but I was there. And by the way, Cornelius, while you're down there, look at those feet. They're the only ones recorded in Scripture that walked on water besides Jesus himself. You know what? Peter left out all that good stuff that God did in this story. Do you realize that there was an immaculate manifestation of God's providence in this story? That there was no way Peter and Cornelius could have found each other unless God was involved. That's what man worship does. It refuses to take the glory because can't no way I pulled it off. And I'm trying to tell you, you have to check yourself in this area. Because we are naturally built and bent to want the credit. And we don't think we're talking like that. And we don't think we're acting like that. And we don't think we're serving for that. Until we quit, then it's too late. People leave ministries because they didn't get enough man worship. Watch this now. People get into the ministry because they want man worship. Look at here, you young people, you young men. Don't swim to preach because you like to pray. Don't Don't get up and preach because you like people liking your message. Some of you kids going to preach Sunday night, you teenagers, on youth day on Sunday night. I'm telling you right now, you get up here showing off, you'll be, next time you preach, it'll be from a casket. Don't get up here and preach because you want to look good, look cute. Amen. By the way, while I'm on it, don't get up there signing because you want to look cute. It's not about, we're trying to communicate the gospel to people that can't hear. Not show some dude that walks in here that who you are, or some girl who you are. We're trying to communicate scripture. We're trying to see people saved. Amen. You stand up and testify in church. Brag on the providence of God, not on your soul winning skills. All right, some of you checked out. You checked out. You've already started your car. You're still sitting in the pew, but you're on 95 already. You have got in the bed and tucked the covers back. You got your pajamas on. You have checked out. You know why? Because I'm in your business. Listen, you can leave the service and Pastor Baldwin, but the Holy Ghost going home with you. He'd come all up in your room through your locked door. Amen. And tell you, you heard what you just running from the past. I'm still preaching. Because guess what? It's him preaching. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful, all you production actors. Be careful. You're in the play now, and you're a pillar of the church. I was in the production. Anybody can play Christian. We want you to act like you say for real when the play's over, without a script. I just thank Pastor Mike for seeing all of those talents in me. I'm glad somebody finally saw it. I was wondering, like, is anybody going to know how good I am? We're trying to see. Listen, we're trying to go down another venue to get people to get saved. And we ain't trying to blow you up. All right, the last three just checked out. It's all right. We're going to be back next week. Same time, same channel, same Bible. So you better change, because this book is not going to. And neither is the man that's preaching. Hey, listen. There's nothing that goes to my head about pastoring Crossroads Baptist Church. Tell you that right now. Oh, man, you're the successor of... You know what that means? That means you just have to shepherd a lot of sheep. And a few goats. And some well-intentioned dragons. Just means when you get off of work, you're done. I don't get off. Don't envy me. Pray for me. Well, you get to preach up there every Sunday. That's responsibility. Not spotlight. I tell myself all the time, you're not anything. Just dust from the ground. Don't ever get stuck on yourself. I worry, by the way, as natural as it is for us to want man worship, it is for people to do it to us. You know, I'm preaching on the danger from Peter's perspective, because if you're ever good at anything, or even semi-good, somebody is going to come bow to you. Some of them don't. Cornelius wasn't doing this to be undoctrinal. He was just expressing his gratitude. And too many times, Christians who accept man worship exploit the ignorance of people who don't know any better. And instead of saying, I appreciate your gratitude, but God did this, many of us say, thank you very much. Matter of fact, tell your friends and family about me. I give you a discount if you bring somebody back. This is not you. You're not an entrepreneur in the church. Not when it comes to the glory of God. There's nothing when it comes to New Testament Christianity that's considered a business you started. It all started with God. And if any part of it's jacked up, it's what we started. May God help us, every one of us, to look in tonight and to discern the danger of man worship. Our Father, I